The crowds asked John the Baptist, "What should we do?" He said to them in reply, "Whoever has two cloaks should share with the person who has none. And whoever has food should do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they too asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He answered, "Stop collecting more than is prescribed." Soldiers also asked him, "What is it that we should do?" He told them, "Do not practice extortion. Do not falsely accuse anyone, and be satisfied with your wages." Now the people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Exhorting them in many other ways, he preached good news to the people. The Gospel of the Lord. The prophet's job, for most of them, was not a very pleasant task. As a matter of fact, probably a good number of them didn't even want the job, and they tried to run away from it. But because their job was, number one, to keep alive the promises that God had made to the chosen people, that from them would come a Savior. And of course, when that goes by centuries and centuries and centuries, you say, well, you know, is this true or is it not? You know, and so the things that the Lord had taken a long time to teach them, the law, the commandments that he had given to them, it would become easier for them to, since it seemed like the Savior was never coming, that they could kind of fall into the practices of the people that around them. And so the prophet's job was not only to keep alive their promise, but to also reprimand the people when they were going astray. Well, John the Baptist is always considered to be the last and the greatest of the prophets. So when he came, his job was somewhat different. He prepared himself extremely well from very early in his life, going into the desert and just contemplating what his task, what his mission was supposed to be. And ultimately, he came out of the desert and was proclaiming, "Prepare the way of the Lord. His coming is imminent." And so he had the baptism of water where he washed away, cleansed them of their sins, but also remind them, you know, that they had to keep up with what God asked of them. They had to keep the commands. But his job finally was simply to point to the Messiah and say, "There he is. It's not me, I'm not the one." And he said to himself, as the gospel read, he wasn't even worthy to touch his sandals. That's how far different John the Baptist considered himself from Jesus. So anyway, because he was such an effective preacher, the people would come to him and say, "Well, what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do?" And so he named specific one, tax collectors, soldiers, who would come to him and ask, "What am I supposed to do?" And I suppose people of all sorts, from all ways of life, would come to him and ask that question, and John would have an answer for them. Be fair, be just, do what the commandments taught you, what you were taught in the commandments, be faithful to your God, be faithful to the promised one. And so he would have advice for them. And so the people would, you know, because he was so effective, many of them began to think, "Well, is he the one?" But John made it clear, "I am not." So anyway, Jesus comes into our life. And he comes with a totally different, he didn't have to emphasize the coming of the Messiah, because he was the Messiah. He was there. He didn't talk about the commands of the old law and the practice of the old law. He came to create a new way of life, totally based on the gift, the immersion of us in the life of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as he calls it, so that we would be immersed in the fire of divine love. And that our job, like the job Jesus came to teach us, was simply to go into the world and live that command. It's more than simply a commandment that we observe. It becomes a whole way of life for us, that we embrace that Spirit of Christ that he gave to us through baptism. We embrace that, and we try to live that every day as he did. And all of his actions, all of his works, all of his preaching, everything was, he did out of genuine love for his people. Now we probably should be going to Jesus with questions. Probably each and every one of us. Not out loud, but maybe to ourselves, say, Lord, what do you expect of me? You know, I think sometimes we don't seem to have enough interest. We believe that we're going to be saved, you know, that Christ suffered and died and rose for us, and because we try to live a faithful life, that, you know, that salvation is kind of assured for us, which it probably is. But so we don't sometimes do all of the things that we are capable of doing, because we just kind of take it for granted. And we probably should be doing like the disciples of John the Baptist. We should probably be asking questions. Lord, like during this Advent season, what do you want me to do? What am I doing in my life right now that I can do much better? What is it in my life that you would like to see me change? So that maybe I'm hateful, maybe I'm angry, maybe I'm an angry person, terribly impatient all the time. Maybe the problem is I may be overworked. That may, you know, sometimes there's reasons for that. But sometimes it's just that we kind of get absorbed into our own lives and really don't want to be bothered by other people, even family members sometimes. Is that what you want me to change? What about my prayer, Lord? Is it when I pray, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Or do I pray at all? What do you expect of me? What do you ask me to do? And frequently he might say to all of us, I'd just like to have some time with you. I just would like to have some of your time, uninterrupted for a few minutes, where you're not distracted by your radio, your TV, your phone, your whatever it may be. I would just like to have a few minutes with you. Just spend that time with me. Remember, he came to us because he loves us. But sometimes it seems like we build this wall, and we know he's there, he's on the other side of the wall, and we figure he doesn't want to be bothered by us, and we don't want to bother him too much. What we need to do is knock down that wall, because he's trying to help us form relationship with him so that we can truly say he is my best friend, that I can talk to him about anything. You hear people talk about that every once in a while. Oh, he or she is my closest, dearest friend. I can go to that person and say whatever is on my mind. They're never offended. They're never hurt. They always are willing to listen to me. See, and that's pretty much the way our God is, or he would like to be. So maybe he's saying to us during this Advent season, I would really like to spend more time with you. Real time with you. Will you not only tell me what's going on in your life because I want to know that, but I would just like for you to listen to me for a little while. Because most of the time when we pray, we don't do that. Most of the time when we pray, we're busy issuing the orders that we need or whatever it may be, we're talking. We feel like we have this compulsion to talk to God, you know, but we keep talking. And imagine sometimes he would like to say to us, would you just be quiet for a couple minutes so I can say something? You're not going to hear a loud, booming voice, but somehow, if you're faithful to that, over a period of time, you will know in your heart that God is speaking to you. Or you may say to him, what am I supposed to do with my job? I find it very troubling. The atmosphere where I have to work is, the people are very hateful. Everybody seems to be angry. What am I supposed to do? And probably he might say something to us about, I would just like for you to live the life that you pledged yourself to in your baptism, that I invited you into when you were baptized, that spirit that I gave to you at that time is a spirit of love, reaching out and trying to bring good into the lives of everyone, no matter where it is, even in the most hateful environment. Can I do something about that? And probably we can, rather than plugging our ears or joining in the hatefulness, maybe simply by doing a kind deed for somebody. And maybe over a period of time, that kind deed may elicit a few other kind deeds from you and from other people. Well, see, with the companions that I hang around with, some of them are really messing around with some pretty dangerous stuff. Maybe it's this drug area. What should I do? I don't want to lose my friends. Well, are they really your friends if they're trying to lead you into something that can destroy your life? What am I supposed to do? We can try to be a good example and be very very firm when we say no. We can maybe talk to people that we feel close to who are risking the danger of wrecking their lives with that stuff, and maybe take them aside and try to talk to them about it. But if they become stronger than us, maybe he's going to say to us, find some new friends. So anyway, I think every one of us can probably sit before God during this Advent season. We only got a couple weeks left. And sit down and say to Lord, what do you really want me to do? Am I just sitting at home wasting time when maybe I could just go visit somebody or maybe go pray for somebody for a while? Or maybe if I'm prepared for it, to offer my help in visiting the sick or teaching children or teaching somebody how to read or something. You know, it seems to me that there's always something, you know, that we're never really finished. Sometimes as we get older, people get the idea that, well, I've done that, let the young people take it over. Well, sometimes the young people don't know what to do. And they may be looking to you to be an example, to be a mentor for them. That maybe that's supposed to be your job, instead of sitting back and doing nothing but maybe finding problems or criticism or something of that nature. So anyway, each and every one of us knows ourselves pretty well, I think. Or at least we should. Maybe you know what you need to do. You need to know the question you need to ask of God. What do you want me to do with my son who has no respect? With my husband who drinks too much or gambles or whatever it may be? With my sister who is a pain in the neck? You know, we can go on and on and on. But each and every one of us, I think if we just take the time to look at ourselves, can say, Lord, I get this issue. How do you want me to handle it? What do you want me to do? But remember, probably one of the most important things all of us need to do is make time for God. He lives among us. We believe in his presence among us. He dwells within us, each and every one of us. He lives in every created thing, because every created thing that has life because he is sustaining that life. So one who is so great and has done so much, who wants to be such an intimate part of all of us, certainly we should be able to say, I've got 10 minutes, I've got 5 minutes, I'm going to be gone for a few minutes, just leave me alone, don't bother me, I need to do some praying. And then we speak to God. What do you want me to do? But then you listen to God.